Blog Talk Radio.
That's a new open for my program, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. That's the music of Muse and Uprising, appropriate music for the women's revolution in Iran. Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to take the time to say thank you for you taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. We're continuing being a voice for the Iranian freedom fighters in the street today. But things are getting very, very rocky for the Iranian freedom fighters. The Iran government, the illegitimate, evil Islamic Republic of Iran, is planning public trials for more than 1,000 of the protesters. And you know exactly what that means. These public trials are nothing more than a deterrent for any other freedom fighter to go out to the street, because they plan on putting to death several of the protesters. That's right. There's no freedom in Iran. You have no right to speak out. You have no right to criticize. You have no right to wear what you want to wear and believe what you want to read. Iranian authorities announced on Monday they will hold public trials for 1,000 people in the capital, Tehran, over the protests that have convulsed the country. The mass indictments marked the government's first major legal action aimed at quashing dissent since the unrest erupted over 6 weeks ago. Now, let's get a little closer look at this article. I'm going to go back to it again. Sometimes you have these ads pop up and I'm trying to read. They call these actions by the protester subversive action, including assaulting security guards, setting fire to public property. All of these accusations, while they're beating to death young children, young schoolgirls, 8-year-old Mona Naghbi, on her way to school one morning, was shot dead by security officers. But we're going to hold protesters accountable for subversive actions while this government engages in child murder, child rape. That's right. Armida Abbasi, about 2 weeks ago, was brought into the hospital. She was suffering from anal and vaginal rape, bleeding. She was brought to the hospital, and then, I guess after some period of time, some treatment, her family wasn't even allowed to see her. They quickly whisked her back out of the hospital, and we don't know where Armida Abbasi is. We assume she's in jail somewhere, but they haven't notified the family. But this is the government that's going to hold protesters accountable. They're going to confront and subvert these protesters. They're claiming that it was started by Zionists, meaning Israel and you and me. They will be charged with collaborating with foreign governments. And of course, these are absolutely absurd, unsupported claims. Without a doubt, It's said by the government, our judges will deal with the cases of the recent riots with accuracy and speed. 270 people have been killed, at least 45 of them young schoolgirls, 14,000 arrested, and they're going to deal swiftly and accurately with these protesters. They're accused of corruption on earth and war against God, which carries the death penalty. Corruption on earth? Corruption on earth is when you engage in killing young, innocent schoolgirls, those that are 8 years or younger on their way to school. That's corruption on earth. But the protesters are being charged with corruption on earth. We can only pray for those that are going to be put to death publicly. We can only pray for more heartache and more sorrow and despair from families that will no longer see their children because this government is charging them with corruption on earth and war against God. Yeah, that's right. This government looks upon their themselves as God. We can only hope and pray that very, very soon this corrupt government will be completely overturned. The evil that is done in the name of their God is horrendous. I want to bring us up to date on everything that's going on. And so in order to do that, I want us to have the opportunity to listen to two sound bites this morning on the protests. And we're going to get a special report on Mahsa Amini's family apparently under house arrest. Let's listen to this first sound bite, giving us a brief update on the protests.
This morning, the latest on Iran and the weeks of protests that are roiling that country, triggered by the death of a young woman in police custody after she was arrested for not wearing a hijab properly. In an exclusive interview with Vashi Capellas on Power and Politics, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the world's eyes are now on Iran.
The world is focused on two things. The world is focused on the incredibly courageous women of Iran who are out in the streets virtually every day speaking out in incredible danger for their basic rights, and that's where our focus is as well.
Protests like these have been happening in the capital of Tehran and in cities around the country almost every day since Mahsa Amini's death, and the Iranian government's crackdown appears to be intensifying. Abby Kugathasan is looking into that story for us from London. Abby, we have women, we have students, we have girls taking part in these protests. What has changed in recent days as a result of them?
Heather, this week marks 40 days since the death of Mahsa Amini, the traditional mourning period in Iran. That was on Wednesday, and demonstrations have intensified. People marched to her gravesite chanting anti-regime slogans, including, "We shall topple the dictator." A Norwegian group that monitors rights violations there says security forces were deployed, and they fired shots and tear gas, resulting in more than 50 civilians being injured. There was a heavy police presence in other parts of Iran as well. People tried to mourn 16-year-old Nika Shakarami, who went missing after attending a protest in September, and mourners went to her grave as well, and there's video online showing officers firing tear gas on civilians there, and people there chanting, "We are all Nika, we are ready to fight." And they have been fighting, as we've been saying, and we heard from the U.S. Secretary of State there, Antony Blinken, saying this has been ongoing every single day in recent weeks, and they're doing it despite the great risk to their lives, Heather.
The demonstrations triggered by the death of Mahsa Amini, Abby, but there's become much more to these protests. Tell us about that.
Certainly. As you mentioned, we've seen the videos of Iranian girls shouting down a regime officials at their school. We've seen the videos of young women cutting their hair off or simply dancing in public. We've seen an 80-year-old woman remove her hijab in protest. There are so many images of Iranians demanding their basic human rights. Time and time again, they say this is not about the hijab. This is about being able to live freely and do as they wish, to do wear what they want and to do what they want, and they're being killed for it. More than 200 people, including 29 children, have lost their lives since Mahsa Amini's death. There have been protests in Iran before, but observers say these are different because they're ongoing. They've brought together different sections of society, and these girls, these university students and grandmas, are the largest threat to the clergy in decades. The regime blames the West for these demonstrations, but every protest, every chant that we've been hearing, woman, life, freedom, is absolutely another loud message to the Iranian officials that these demonstrators are determined to make sure that their voices are heard.
Abby Kugathasan, thank you from London this morning.
A very famous, actually world-renowned rapper, Tumaj Salehi, was recently arrested. Now, he is a very gifted songwriter, performer, producer, producing rap music, supporting the revolution. His songs are extremely powerful. He has been very outspoken, and because of his popularity, like Ashurvin Hajipour, who wrote the anthem for the protest, because of Tumaj's popularity, he was arrested. Now, of course, what they do when they arrest these rappers or these public figures, they're trying their best to squelch the continued protests. This government is very afraid. Make no mistake about it. They're very afraid, so they have to silence the powerful voices like Tumaj. Recently, there was a video uploaded of Tumaj. It's a two-part video, but it's cleverly documentary edited. The first part of this video is Tumaj before his arrest, speaking bravely about the protest. And then all of a sudden you see a man with a blindfold on, kneeling down, showing remorse and regret. I'm so sorry for the songs I wrote, for the protest, for supporting it. And they're claiming that that's Tumaj. Make no mistake, this is government propaganda. They're classically Soviet-trained government propaganda, and they're trying to say Tumaj has confessed on state TV in his video that he is so sorry for what he has said and the songs he's written in supporting the protest. It's a lie. But what they are doing, they are subjecting him to very intense torture. This is what they do to silence the voice. So please, please pray for Tumaj, a very gifted rap artist who is sacrificing his life to be a voice of freedom for the Iranian people. Now, it's been suggested and reported, it can't be confirmed, but more than likely this is true. This is a special report now, another soundbite I want you to hear, about Mahsa Amini's family under house arrest. Let's listen.
Iranian authorities reportedly have placed Mahsa Amini's family under house arrest. Protests have been sweeping across Iran since September when the 22-year-old died in the custody of the country's morality police. Now demonstrators are calling for regime change, posing one of the biggest challenges to the republic's clerical leadership since the Iranian Revolution in 1979. Skylar Thompson, head of global advocacy at Human Rights Activists in Iran, joins me now with more on this. Skylar, what can you tell us about these reports of Amini's family now under house arrest?
Hey, thanks for having me. These reports are really what would be in line with what we'd see, re-victimization of victims that should really be seeing reparations for crimes committed by the Islamic Republic. We have not been able to confirm the reports that the family is indeed under house arrest, but it would not be a surprising move. You know, this is really something that the regime does. They silence victims of their own violations.
Now, Skylar, Iranian security forces reportedly opened fire at mourners who also gathered at the cemetery where Mahsa Amini is buried. I know you've been documenting alleged violations against protesters by security forces. So what else are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, you know, these sort of uses of lethal weapons against protesters are incredibly abhorrent. We have documented a death toll of now up to 270, and as you can imagine, this number is incredibly conservative. When the situation is as securitized as it is, documentation is difficult. When the internet is completely restricted, it's hard to capture, you know, the breadth of what the regime is actually doing. But of the number that we've documented of these killings, this captures 39 children under the age of 18. The youngest of those is age 11. You know, when you have reports of children as young as 11 being shot in the face by security forces, you can sort of imagine what's going on the ground. Just before we got on air, I was reviewing a report of a 12-year-old boy shot and killed in the face. The brutality is really quite heinous.
Now, Skylar, the international community has been calling for accountability. Has there been any so far?
It's a great question. You know, we are seeing momentum in a positive direction, better than we've seen in the past. The United States has released now 3 rounds of targeted human rights sanctions on Iranian human rights abusers. This is great. We really welcome these tools. Canada, the United Kingdom, and the European Union have done the same. This sort of united action for individual human rights violators is really important, and so we really encourage that action to continue. But what I think is most important is that there be united action at the United Nations level. So for a UN-led investigative mechanism on Iran and the crimes committed within its borders to happen is really important. And we have indications that Germany is willing to take the lead on that. And so we would encourage member states of the Human Rights Council to gather around Germany and its leading role to ensure that that happens.
All right, Skylar Thompson, we appreciate your time today. Skylar, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
As I always like to do with reports like that is to encourage you, since the last time we gathered together, I was teaching on intercessory prayer, I encourage us. Please spend some quality time crying out to God for these broken, hurting victims of this revolution. And I'm thinking of the family of the murdered young Kurdish girl that started it all several weeks ago, the family of Mahsa Amini, who reportedly are under house arrest. What that basically means is that they cannot leave their home. They are under arrest. They are prohibited from talking to media. They're prohibited from really leaving the home. I don't know how that works out in Iran, but they're under that kind of just jurisdiction and oppression. So they're not able to leave for any reason whatsoever. And so what we need to do is from our side of the world, just cry out to the Lord. Cry out to Him about this horrendous situation, the grieving, hurting families of the slain protesters. I can never forget the image, and it's been on my Facebook page for almost a week now, of a young blonde-haired girl, maybe 4 years old, maybe 5. Her face is contorted. She's in tears because her mother, Fatima, I believe her name, she was standing on the rooftop joining in with the protesters above and was shot and killed. And you can see the grief in this child's eyes. And she represents the collective grief of the nation of Iran. Her picture is absolutely viral all over the internet. But these are the images and the faces of those that are hurting. And there's nothing that is more deeply grieving to me than to see a young, innocent child broken and in tears over the death of her mother. She's there at the grave. And this picture, as I mentioned, has just gone viral. I want to spend some time now reading a very powerful letter from an Iranian refugee. And this letter is from a young Iranian man named Nima, who has recently became a refugee, having to leave his homeland. And as I gushed with Heather the other day, one of the hardest things for Iranians to ever have to do is to leave their homeland to get freedom. Their homeland should be their place of refuge and the place of freedom, but you see the turmoil, the death, and the violence. It's anything but free. But Nima made a decision, and sometimes your Iranian friends will never forgive you for leaving. They think you have a responsibility to stay. I don't know all of the circumstances why Nima left, but he became a refugee, and for a long time he was on Samos Island close to Greece in the Aegean Sea. And recently he composed this powerful letter that I want to read to you. I put it on my Facebook page. He's writing a letter back to his homeland. He's praising their courage in the revolution. And I'll read it for you. Iran, my dear homeland, I had no choice but to write to you during this time of revolt and perhaps time of change. I know you're not feeling well these days. I know that women and men are being slaughtered for the only crime of asking for freedom. But I wonder, where in this world is asking for freedom considered a crime? I swear to my homeland, now watered with the blood and tears of your children, there has not been a single moment that I have not thought about you. Iran, your name brings me sadness, fury, and guilt. Your name is a combination of emotions that hits me badly. It breaks me to read and watch how innocent people are tortured and murdered. I am furious about the fact that even the dictator has even cut off the internet to stop my people's voices from being heard by the world. I feel guilty for not being there to fight for freedom by your side and against the government. I feel sad about being condemned to the position of spectatorship, with this government being the reason why I fled. However, I am proud of you more than ever. I am proud of you, Iran, and of seeing how the unveiled hairs of your daughters have created a beauty that united women and men, old and young, and all chant together, women, life, freedom. I am proud of this powerful revolution because for the first time, it is an uprising led by men, led by women, and supported by men. Dear Iran, I have hope. I have hope. I know the sun will rise after an endless night. I know you will be free from the cruel dictatorship to silence every scream, but I will come back to you. I will forever live in the land to which I belong. That is Nima. What a beautiful letter. He expresses remorse for not being there fighting by their side, but he says this government is the reason I had to leave. And it is so beautifully written that he had to put it on the internet and had to post it. We can trust that God is going to do something incredible in the midst of this violence and evil. He is in control of all world events. Daniel chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. God is in the business creating kingdoms, setting up world rulers, but also removing them. And that is a promise. And I think of the intercessory prayer teaching I had just the other day. Remember that when you are speaking out and praying for the Iranian people, that God sets up kings and removes them. He is calling his church to take up their spiritual weapons and be a voice for Iranians. Intercessory prayer demolishes the strongholds, the demonic strongholds that are oppressing the Iranian people. The question is, are you willing to sacrifice some of your valuable time and be a prayer warrior for Iran? Be a prayer warrior for Tomaj. I have a petition on my page. You can sign to be a voice for Tomaj that way as well. And I want to go back to the lead story. This kangaroo court in Iran, they're coming after the protesters in their public trial. There will be those that are executed. They're denied a lawyer or any legal counsel. There's no jury. These trials last for 10 minutes before they are given a death sentence. I want you to pray specifically for 22-year-old Mohammed Ghodabalu. Ghodabalu, that's G-H-O-B-A-D-L-O-U. He was detained, of course, for protesting. He's been sentenced to death. His mother is pleading for support. And we need to support this man with our prayers. We need to be a voice for the Iranian people. And as I read that specific letter, it's on my Facebook. All you have to do is go to my page. Please copy and paste it and post it. It is so important that you and I do this as we continue to support the Iranian people with our thoughts and prayers and our actions. There are petitions on my page. There are photographs of young children and their families just under distress. Please go to my page and please share these videos. Please share these stories and be a voice for the Iranian people. I cannot overemphasize how important this is. Yes, there is beginning to be more media coverage about Iran. I'm really happy to see that. But we cannot allow this story to die. With the internet being shut down in many areas of Iran, some of the video footage is difficult to get a hold of. So let's keep the voice of these protesters alive. And the way that you and I do that is we every day post something. We go to other pages and we share their stories. We build a foundation on our public profile page and keep their voices and their stories alive, because we have to be the media. The media is going to go on and report on other stories, but us who are lovers of the people of Iran, we keep their stories alive. So again, here's what you do. When this blog talk radio program is over, and in a couple of minutes when I set it up again and post and share it, I want you to go to my page, Randy L. Noble, and I want you to share it. Please continue to be a voice for the Iranian people. They need our support always. They need our support because we are their voice. And so I want to say thank you once again for spending some time with me this morning on the cross in the desert. Please have a safe, good weekend, and don't take your freedom for granted. God bless you. Goodbye.